The Lord just began to download so many things concerning the day and the time that we're living in and the things that we're moving toward and the things that the Word of God tells us that are going to be happening in this earth. Matter of fact, the Bible tells us that we should not be ignorant of the signs and the times of the things that are going on around us. It should not catch us unawares. If we're reading the Word of God, the things that we see and happening and we're hearing in the world, it doesn't surprise us. It is right on God's prophetic timeline, and it will be fulfilled. The Bible is the only book, there's no other religious book that tells you what's going to happen in the last days before Jesus Christ comes back. What's going to be taking place in the earth? The Bible's the only one that predicts and shows and prophesies and gives the history of what will be happening in the world. And you can go back in the Bible and all the things that God has prophesied and all the prophets have prophesied, what they have foretold and taken place, it is a historical fact. It is 100% accurate. And we're living in some of the greatest times that we will ever see. But it's also going to be some of the toughest and most perilous times that we have ever seen. Not just in the human race, but in nature, all kinds of things are going to be going on, and I'll be sharing that with you. But as I was writing all of this, the Lord told me, He said, this is what He spoke to in my heart, dropped in my heart. He said, position yourself and tell your congregation to position themselves for success. In the midst of all the turmoil, all the confusion, He said, I desire them to be successful because that will get the attention of the world. But it's not just what we think in the material realm. It is spirit, soul, and body. Success is not a word that the world came up with. Success is what God told Joshua concerning the children of Israel and that they were getting ready to go in and possess the land. And He told Joshua, He said, if you'll meditate in My word day and night and let it come out of your mouth, because a lot of times we forget about that, let it come out of your mouth. He said, here's what will happen to you, Joshua. He said, then you will make your way prosperous and you will have great success. So let's turn in our Bibles to 2 Chronicles, the 20th chapter. Amen. Verses 15 through 17. This is when the children of Israel have been surrounded by a multitude, an army that cannot even be counted. It is so numerous. It is so huge. And of course, when they saw this, they immediately, just like we all do when we see things that are bigger than we are concerning circumstances and problems, reports, or whatever may come, they were freaking out. But what did they do? First, they had to deal with fear. But in the fear and in the dismay of what they're seeing, they went to pray. And they started praying. And as they were praying, then one of the prophets stood up and prophesied about them not fearing and not being dismayed. And so with all of that, we come to verse 15. And this is the Lord speaking to the people. And He says this, and He said, listen, all of you of Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem, and you, King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord to you, do not be afraid or dismayed because of this great multitude. Now, this is very important for us going into 2020. Whatever you may be facing right now, whatever you may be seeing, whatever you have been experiencing coming out of one year, going into another year, the first thing God is saying to you, don't be afraid. Do not be dismayed at what you see and what you will hear. Do not be afraid. Do not be dismayed. Listen to this. For the battle is not yours, but God's. Now, everybody, and man, we amen that to pieces. Oh, man, yeah, praise God. Let's just sit around and drink some sweet tea. We're going to have some sweet tea. We're just going to eat some corn dodgers and hush puppies and some boiled peanuts. And man, they're good for you. Don't say that. Listen, he said, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Here's what you need to understand. Every battle that you face belongs to God. But there's something that you have to do. You can't just sit on the couch, turn on the TV, and say, God will handle this. Okay? I'm going to show you something that so many in the body of Christ do not realize. He said, tomorrow, go down against them. Wait a minute. You said the battle was yours. You do it. I don't want to have to get up out of here and go do something. I thought you said the battle was yours. I want to stay here in the bathtub, in the hot tub. I want to stay here watching TV. I want to stay here listening to some music. I want to chill out. You said that you take care of this. And I've heard this preached like this for years, and I've watched people sit around and do nothing and end up losing. Because we forget that we are co-partners with God. We forget that there's something that we have to do, responsibility. So he said, tomorrow go down against them. They will surely come up. I love this because God gives you wisdom in whatever fight you're in. They will surely come up by the ascent of Ziz, and you will find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel. Now watch this. Because this is where you can get messed up. You will not need to fight in this battle. There it is again. And then he says this, position yourselves. Now the word position means to station oneself or with others to take a stand. To take a stand. Okay, when God says he's going to do something, you've got to go out and take a stand. You've got to make it clear to everybody around you where you stand. And God backs up your stand. All right, now listen to this. He said, position to station oneself or with others to take a stand. Position yourselves. Now watch this. Stand still. He doesn't mean, the word stand still in the Hebrew does not mean this. It does not mean for you to freeze. It doesn't mean for you to do nothing at all. The word stand still all through the Bible in the Hebrew means this, to arise and stand one's ground, to withstand. In other words, stand still is actually an action statement. It means that when God says stand still, he means get up, go forward, and stand your ground. Hold your ground. He said this, to arise, it means to arise and stand one's ground, to withstand. Sounds like something in Ephesians, the 6th chapter, right? When you've done all to stand, keep on standing. Okay, so he said, and see. Now here's what he said. I'm going to provide the power. I have provided the victory already. Before you even get up in the morning, it's already provided. But you're going to have to get up. You're going to have to move forward. You're going to have to do something. Okay? And he said, now if you do this in partnership, in agreement with me, this is what you're going to see. And see the salvation of the Lord who is with you. The word salvation is the Hebrew word Yeshua, and it means this: you will see deliverance, victory, prosperity, health, rescue from danger. He said, see the salvation of the Lord. And salvation comes from the Lord, but you and I have a part of this. Who is with you, O Judah and Jerusalem? Do not fear or be dismayed. Tomorrow, and here's the word again, tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord is with you. Folks, you've got to realize that when you make a stand in accordance to the word of God and the will of God, God is going to manifest himself on your behalf. It's going to happen. And things may not happen overnight. You may have to take a stand and keep on standing. But sooner or later, you're going to get somebody's attention, because God's going to get somebody's attention. And you keep on standing. You keep on believing. You keep on speaking. This is what God said. God said, we will see his salvation. Bless God, I receive it in the name of Jesus. I will see my deliverance. I will see my rescue. I will see my health. I will see my prosperity. I will see what God said that I will see. I will see it. And I have it now. Listen, before they ever went out, God said, you have the victory. He said, you already have it. I've already given it to you. Remember what God said to Joshua in Joshua the 6th chapter, when Joshua is sitting there assessing the walls of Jericho, probably as a general sitting there going, how are we going to take these walls? How are we going to go in and take what God has promised that he would give us? How are we going to do this? You know, are we going to use ladders? Going to use battering rams? No, we can't do that. We don't have any of those. What? How are we going to do this? And all of a sudden, the Lord shows up. I mean, Jesus shows up, and he's dressed in battle armor. And he's dressed in such a way that Joshua at first didn't even recognize him. And he said, and the first thing Joshua looked at him, because he saw a man of war, he said, are you for us? Are you against us? I love Joshua, because Joshua was ready to fight. You always got to be ready to fight. Nobody has ever won a battle just sitting on your blessed assurance, doing nothing. Amen? You got to get up and do something. You got to have some action. And then all of a sudden he said, I am the captain of the Lord's army. And Joshua realized who he was. He fell on his face before. And it was not an angel, because if it had been an angel, the angel would have told him to stand up and not worship him. It was the Lord Jesus Christ showing up. And then he says this. He says, Joshua, see, I have given you the city. The fact that he said, I have given to him, means God gets all the glory and all the honor. See, anything you get, God says ahead of time, see, I've already given you this. But now what did they have to do? Did they have any responsibility? Did they have any action? Yes. Yes, they did. They had to get up. They had to march. They had to do exactly what God told them to do. See, regardless of what you face, the Holy Spirit's always got a strategy. That's the reason prayer is so vitally important for you. And what you've got to realize is that they were in position at that point and that time, that they were in a position of victory. But they were going to have to go down. They were going to have action. They were going to have to do something. No matter how big it looks, no matter who is behind the situation that you may be facing right now. People could be in government. People could have all kinds of big money and big corporations and everything. But what you've got to understand, there is nobody and no organization, there is no entity that's bigger than your God. And if he can just find one person to move, he doesn't need 10,000. Gideon found that out. He just needs one person that will believe him. I mean a crazy, radical faith that will take a stand, that will do something. Now here's the one thing, and I guarantee you I am not going to get anywhere near. My notes will be up on the website, because I can tell you right now, I'm not even going anywhere near any of that. My son tells me that all the time. He said, "Dad, why do you do so many notes?" And I said, "Well, I put them up there so everybody can study them. I'll never get to preach them." But now here's the thing I need you to see that's so vitally important. God is the one that said, "Position yourselves." And the position that you're in is always a position of victory. You are never, regardless of the circumstances, you are never, when it comes to God, in a position of defeat. You're not in a position of failure. Yes, there's times that we fail. Yes, there's times that we make mistakes. But you're never positioned there. It is when we take things in our own hands and go outside of the will of God that we find ourselves in dire straits, in difficult situations. But even when we do that, if I repent, God will come right back around and say, "Now get in this position, get in this place, and let's go, because I will bless you. I will take care of you." That's the great thing about our God. Man, that's so awesome. We have a tendency to beat ourselves up so much when we failed or we've done something, and it's like we can't live past that moment when God's saying, "Come on, you repented. I have forgiven you. Get back up. Get back in the fight. Get back in position. Position yourself now. I will bring a victory. I will get good out of this." Even when you've messed it up so bad, he said, "I will get some good out of this." Most incredible statement. Well, there's tons of statements, but one of the most incredible statements in the Bible is this. It is in Romans, the 8th chapter, and it says, "All things work together for good." All things. He works all things out for our good, even when we mess up, even when we fail, even when we goof up. And the key to that is repentance. "God, forgive me. I got outside of your will. God, forgive me. I got in the flesh. God, forgive me. I made the wrong decision. God, forgive me." And what do? We will beat ourselves up and allow the devil to beat us up for the next year. And we'll carry that luggage. It is amazing how we'll do that. And God keeps saying to you, "I have forgiven you. Now get up and move forward." Listen to this. Okay, are you ready for this? This is where you are positioned by God. When you understand where you are positioned by God, then you know that when you position yourself, you're going to receive what God has promised, and you're going to see God come through. You're going to see God win. You're going to see you win. You're going to see victory. So many times I hear people, I say, "How are things going?" "Well, under the circumstances." And I said, "Well, see, here's what you've done. You've now positioned yourself underneath something that you're on top of." Look at Ephesians, the first chapter. Turn to Ephesians, first chapter. This is so vitally important. Ephesians, the first chapter. And I want you to look at verse 19. This is when Paul is praying. And when Paul is praying, he's praying that the eyes of our understanding will be enlightened so that we will know something. And what he's doing, he's saying, I need for you to understand where you are positioned. No matter what you face, no matter what comes to you in life, this is where you are positioned. Watch this. He said, he's praying, and he said, I want the eyes of your understanding. God, I pray right now. I'm praying. Father, open the eyes of our understanding to see this. And in verse 19, he says, here's, I want you to understand what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us. Toward us who believe. According to the working of his mighty power. Notice that it says the exceeding greatness of his power and according to the working of his mighty power. And right in the middle of that is the word believe. You must believe. You must have faith. And faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So he said, and the what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe according to the working. So in other words, when I believe, the exceeding greatness of his power is there. It was there in Chronicles. It was there for the children of Israel. But they had to believe, and in their belief, they had to have action. Faith without works is dead. The book of James. So he said, watch this. He's going to give us an example. Which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. Far above all principality, power, and might, and dominion. Now he's talking about the kingdom of darkness. And every name, whatever any name is, and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also that which is to come. We're living right now in that which is to come. And whatever else is coming. Okay? And he put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Are you seeing this? In other words, he's saying, I have given all of this to my church. I have given it to Jesus. I have taken Jesus and put him at my right hand. I have raised him from the dead. All of my power is there for you. I've given it to my body through Jesus. Jesus is the head. And we are the body. And he put all things under his feet. Is the feet on top of the head, or is the feet on the bottom of your legs? Which means the feet is a part of the body, which the head is part of the body. It's all together, one unit, unity and harmony. But are you ready for this? Because somebody will say, well, I know, well, that's Jesus. Yes, I know he's seated there. Yes, that's exactly right. But listen to the second chapter and look at verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love, which he loved us, when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. In other words, the same power that raised Christ from the dead is the same power that got us born again. Let me ask you something. If the devil couldn't stop you from being saved, and the devil could not stop the miracle of you being born again, how do you think that he's going to stop you doing anything when you have this power operating for you and in you? Okay, you ready for this? Okay, verse 6. And raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Oh, man. God, open our eyes to see this. You are seated above all principality and power and dominion and every name that is named. You are sitting in Christ Jesus right now, spiritually speaking. When God looks at you, He sees you in the body of Christ. He has to look at Jesus when He looks at you. And you are placed there. You're placed there with Jesus. You are seated right at the right hand of the Father in heavenly places. You are not under the circumstances. You are above every single thing that will come your way. Every situation, every problem, every circumstance. You are above it already. And you've got to see that when you're facing something in your life. You've got to see, this is where I'm seated. This is who I am in Christ Jesus. This is what I have. And then it goes on to say your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit of the living God. The Spirit of the living God lives on the inside of you, on the inside of every one of us. Every one of us. The Spirit of God and the power of God resides on the inside of you. If the Spirit of Him who raised Christ from the dead lives in us. Man. If you ever get revelation of that, you will face situations. Yes. Yeah, yes, your human body, your senses and everything will have some fear. Absolutely, when you see something. The only power that the devil has over you is getting in your mind to convince you that you are no competition. That you are no threat. That you have no power. Oh, pastor or the evangelist or somebody else. No, you've got to see who you are. You've got to understand who you are. Well, you don't understand. I work over here you're still seated at the right hand of the Father. Well, you know, I have this problem and I have that problem. I understand that, but you're above it. You've got to see who you are, not who you used to be. Not what used to have power over you, but you've got to see right now what you have in the power of the name of Jesus and the power of Almighty God and the power of His Word and the power of the Holy Spirit. Man, when you see this, you'll quit acting like a defeated foe. You'll quit speaking negative. You'll quit going, oh, woe is me. Whoa, whoa, whoa. When you understand where you're seated, when you understand who you are, and you see that God is there with you and for you, and God will say the same thing that He said to the children of Israel. Go get them, boys. Go get them. Go get them. Go down to them. Don't be afraid. Don't be dismayed. Get up. Face it. Speak. Use the name of Jesus. Use my word. Call those things which be not as though they are. Speak my word. Pray my word. Keep going. You pray. Get up out of your closet and you go into secret and you pray inside of your closet. That's right. Christians are first to go in the closet. then come out. Because then you come out with power. He said, go in the closet and pray, and when you come out, I will reward you openly. I don't know about you, but after I get out of my prayer time, I'm ready to dance. Praise God. I know God's doing something. He's going to do it. He told them, go down to them. I'm going to tell you exactly where they are. I'm going to give you the wisdom and everything that you need. You just go and do it, and my power will be there. My power will manifest itself. All right, tell me this. Where are you seated right now? Somebody went right here. No, I got to preach it to you again. No. In the natural, you are, but in the spiritual realm, you are seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. You are seated in the seat of the most powerful seat in the universe. Don't be afraid of what people are going to think about you. The fear of the Lord is my motivation. And it's not a tormenting fear. It's the honor of honoring Him. And I honor Him by standing. And when I've done all to stand, I keep on standing. Because I know I'm going to receive. Praise, bless God, and I'm going to say it. It doesn't matter to me who hears it or what they think about me when I say it. But I will say, bless God, I am. I am, I am, I am. And whatever the word says I am, I am. I have it. It is mine. It belongs to me. God said, go get it. It's your possession. I've given it to you. Everything that pertains to life and godliness, I've given it to you. See, I've given it to you. I've given it to you. I've given you health. I've given you salvation. I've given you everything that you need. And I've placed you in my Son, sitting on the right hand, and I put you there. So wherever you go and whatever you do, and by the way, nothing and nobody can take you out of that seat. Care what title they got on their name. They can't take away from you what God has given to you. Nobody can snatch you out of His hands. God said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you, so that I can boldly say, that's one of the things that the Lord had mentioned to me as I was praying. You remember this? I told you in last year when the Lord told me, He said, teach my people how to fight. They're giving up. They're throwing in the towel. They're becoming fearful and dismayed at their situations and circumstances and things that they're seeing. And tell them that I have told them not to be afraid. Did you know that one statement? In the Bible, that statement from God and from Jesus all through the Bible is a statement more than any other statement that you find. Do not be afraid. Do not be dismayed. Understand where you're seated. Understand who lives on the inside of you. Understand the power that's on the inside of you. Some of you right now need to get mad at that mess. You need to get mad at what the devil's been messing with you and not shrinking back and not seeing yourself as just little old me. You're not little old me. Actually, when the devil sees you, he sees Jesus. He just convinced you. He just tries to convince you you're little old me. He tries to convince you, oh, this is the way you were. You're not worthy to receive things from God. You've messed up too many times. This is where you were. You were a mess. Yeah, I was a mess. But I ain't a mess no more. I am a new creature in Christ Jesus. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And it's my faith that overcomes the world. Going into this year, you must understand where you're seated, who you are in the body of Christ. Man, if you could turn around when you're standing there and standing and you think, and the enemy tries to make you think you're just, oh, you're just all by yourself. No, you're not by yourself. There'd be more for you. Man, if God would open your eyes, you would just see angels everywhere. All for you. Power. But here's the thing. Listen to me. I got to shut up. Don't want to shut up, but I got to. Here's the thing that you must see. When God was speaking to the children of Israel, he said, I'm for you. Even Tom Brady gets beat. God's never lost a battle. Oh. The Holy Spirit is the best quarterback. He's the best coach. And he's all on your side. You just got to rise, take a stand, speak the word, move forward. Understand where you are, who you are, and don't quit and don't give up. And if you do, you're going to see more moves of God in your life and in the body of Christ than you've ever dreamed of to see. If you will just be bold. I don't know when, but one of these services, whenever God releases me to do it, but one of these services, because here's what the Lord told me. He said, in one of the services, you're going to pray for boldness. And he said, I will supernaturally, just like I did in Acts the 4th chapter, I will supernaturally fill the people with boldness. They said, Lord, give us boldness to speak your word, to go forward in Jesus' name. Now, you don't have to wait until that service. I didn't wait until the service. I did it right then. Give me boldness to speak your word. Can you say amen? Amen. Let's bow our head and close our eyes for just a moment, please. I want to give you an opportunity. You can be placed in the seat of authority with Jesus by being born again. Placed in the family of God. Everybody's missing one thing in their lives. We're born like this. We have a hole in our soul. And that hole can only be filled with God. You can fill it with achievements, accomplishments, material things, relationships, but it could never satisfy. It will never fill you. Only God can satisfy and fulfill you. And God desires to come to live on the inside of you. And the only way that can happen is he must cleanse you from all sin, forgive you from all sin. And when he does that, which he's already done, he did on the cross. When he does that, he comes to live on the inside of you. He will lead you, guide you, and direct you, and your eyes will be open to see like you've never seen before. And then all of a sudden, as you begin to learn the Word of God, the Bible, man, you see yourself in there, and you see everything that God's promised you. And you're like, wow, that's what I did after I got born again. I began to look. I began to feed off the Word of God. I had a hunger for the Word of God. And you know what? Nobody had to tell me to come to church. Man, I was so hungry for God and His Word to learn and to grow, which I did. But today, Today, God sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to die so that you could be forgiven and so that you could come into the family of God. God desires to do that for you. And let me say this one other thing. You may be here today and say, I knew the Lord at one time, but I've gotten away from Him, and I've messed up so much, I don't know if God will forgive me. Don't you listen to the lies of the devil. That's just lie. That's lies of the devil. The Bible simply says this: if you repent of your sins, He's faithful and just to forgive you. And then He's going to say, once you're forgiven, He's going to say, rise up, son. Rise up, daughter. Now let's go together. Let's be who I created you to be. That's what God will do. I want to pray for you. If you say, Pastor, I want to receive Jesus as the Lord of my life, or Pastor, I knew the Lord at one time and I've gotten away, but I am ready to get back in to position myself in Christ again, position myself in God. I'm ready to get back into that place. I'm ready to repent of my sin. I'm ready to walk in what God has for me to walk. You want to be in that prayer, all I want you to do right now is just lift up your hand and say, Pastor, that's me. I want to be in that prayer this morning. I want to receive Jesus. God bless you. Yes, 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 yes. God bless you. You can put your hands down. Yes, God bless you. Thank you. Anybody else? Say, Pastor, that's me. That's me. Yes, God bless you. Thank you. Anybody else? Say, Pastor, that's me. I want to receive Jesus as the Lord of my life. Or I've known the Lord, but I've gotten away from Him. Anybody else before we pray? Anyone else? I'll take my time on this, because this is eternity. Because unless Jesus Christ is the Lord of your life, you are not promised tomorrow. Anybody else before I pray? Yes, God bless you. Thank you. All right, we're going to pray. All of you that raised your hands, I want you to pray this with me, and we're all going to pray with you out loud. Father God, I thank you today for your love, your mercy, and your grace. Father, I believe that you sent Jesus Christ, your Son, to this earth, and He died on the cross, took my sin, so that I could be forgiven. Today, I repent of all my sin, and I ask your forgiveness in Jesus' name. And this day, before heaven and earth, unashamedly, I confess Jesus Christ as my Lord. In Jesus' name, I receive my salvation and my forgiveness. And I declare Jesus Christ is the Lord of my life. Thank you, Father, for forgiving me in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen and amen. Come on, let's give God praise. Hallelujah. Amen.